Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. And it was beautiful today. This is Dr. John Stamey, and we've got another exciting edition of ScaryCast. This is going to be a lot of fun because I have two of our co-hosts are not with us, and I have the privilege of talking to Dr. Trey Donaway. Dr. Trey, how are you doing tonight, our Surgeon General?
I'm doing great, John. It's a beautiful day in South Carolina. The temperature's cooled off. It's like fall. It's a great day.
Well, it really is. And the first thing I'd like to say is I got the mystery text message this morning about 11 a.m. It was one of the most wonderful text messages I have ever received. We were having a problem trying to figure out where to hold the Lizard Man Festival. And lo and behold, a gentleman at the large surf shop in Columbia, South Carolina said, well, we're holding an event at Owens Airport, and they've got a skateboard facility. Why don't you just bring all the vendors over there and let's just have a blast? Because he is apparently a very big paranormal fan. His name is David Blue Tile, thing name, and he's got a wonderful shop. I think a lot of people, in fact, I think, Trey, you'd said that you had been to his shop before, right?
I had. My son was interested in a skateboard or a bongo board or some kind of board. My son was a big wakeboarder when he grew up here on the lake. So he went to that shop, and I went there to get him something or another years ago. So he's been in business for a long time.
Well, he has been, and after talking with him, we came to the conclusion that we could work together. I seldom decide to work together with somebody on the spot, but I think I made a good decision. So on Saturday, October the 30th, from noon to 6 p.m., you can be there for a skateboarding event at the Owens Skateboard Facility next to the Owens Airport in beautiful South Columbia, along with the Lizard Man Festival. We will have the kid-friendly Lizard Man. He will have dum-dums. He will be there for photo opportunities, and it's going to be just a blast. We'll probably have about 20 vendors, because I think all the vendors that I called up, they said, gosh, we'd love to go and move everything there. So I think now if everybody has a chance, please go on Facebook to lizardmanfestival.org, and it'll go right to our page. And just like our page and say that you're going. I mean, just help us out. If you're not quite sure or whatever, go ahead and say you're going to go. It'll help. It'll get our numbers up, and it will be a great thing. The Lizard Man will be happy. So we just had an interesting coincidence of events that turned out to be just a wonderful thing. So the Lizard Man Festival, the fourth annual festival in South Carolina, the SC Lizard Man Festival, is going to be held at the Owens Skateboard Park, South Columbia, noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October the 30th. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, Dr. Trey, I hear you might be out of town. We're going to miss you.
I am going to be out of town, John. Now I'm looking up Lizard Man Fest. I recognize your Lizard Man. So I see Lizard Man Festival, 536 like it. Yep.
Something like that.
John Stamey likes this, so that must be the Lizard Man Festival. So I'm going to go to that right now and like it.
We are changing our name because we are the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival. By tomorrow, we will be branded as the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival because we are proud of the Palmetto State, and we are proud of our Lizard Man, who I think had a little bit of help in tweaking out in the universe to make this happen. So I appreciate it.
So
I,
it's going to change
all the help
to South Carolina Lizard Man Festival?
Well, it will, but we'll also keep Lizard Man Festival as well, but so that people don't get confused. But the domain name is going to be sclizardmanfestival.com. And we love South Carolina. That's because we love South Carolina. And Dr. Trey, I want to tell you an interesting story. When I was at the Iris Festival, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a beautiful festival on Swan Lake in Sumter, South Carolina. Have you ever been there to see all those swans?
I've been to Swan Lake, but I've never gone to the Iris Festival. But irises are one of my favorite flowers.
Well, it's a beautiful place. And at the Iris Festival, we were doing, that's back when we were doing caricatures. And what happened was I was talking with, I had flyers for the Lizard Man Festival back when we held it in Bishopville. And this is, I think, an interesting human relations story. There was a very nice teacher. She was a fourth grade teacher in the Sumter County Schools. And I gave her a flyer. She said, "I love the Lizard Man." She said, "I don't know if it's real or not, but I'll tell you this much. Every student that graduates from high school in Sumter County and Lee County, South Carolina, they need to at least know about this because the Lizard Man is part of our heritage." And that kind of changed the way I looked at the Lizard Man. Lizard Man was all in the newspaper. It was all over the media throughout the world. And, you know, when an event happens, if you don't know if it's real or not, if it's part of your history and part of your culture, I think you should at least know about it. You kind of agree with me.
Sure. It's like it's like living in New York City and never visiting the Statue of Liberty. So whether you believe in the Lizard Man or not, it's part of the fabric of your local culture. I think everyone should at least be tuned in. So if somebody says, "Hey, I heard about the Lizard Man," you'd say, "What are you talking about?" Nobody wants to know if you're from South Carolina and you know nothing about the Lizard Man. So I think it's just good for public knowledge.
I think it really is. And when I was talking with David, who's going to be working with me on this festival, he's a big believer in, and we have South Carolina who are part of the fabric of our culture. One is Alice Flagg, down in Merle's Inlet and Pauley's Island and Blanville, South Carolina, who's the most romantic ghost. And then we have Agnes of Glasgow, who you know is part of the fabric of the lore and legend of Camden, right?
Absolutely. If you don't know who Alice of Glasgow is you just haven't, you haven't been hanging around the right people for enough time.
That is exactly right. Now, there's a gentleman there that's associated with Historic Camden, and he came out with me a couple of times and walked out with me through. And I know you know his name. He's an eccentric, fun kind of guy. What was his name? You remember? See, that is exactly right. And Rusty, I had the privilege of listening to an hour worth of stories about Alice of Glasgow and all the ghosts. And
Rusty is an interesting fella. He tells us when he was little, his mother used to go to visit the family grave at Quaker Cemetery, which is a very old cemetery in South Carolina. And when he was there with his sister, she would just tell the kids just to go play around the gravestones. So he knows that cemetery very well, and he would be familiar with Alice's grave.
And, you know, I think, again, it's important to know your local culture. It enriches your life. And I think you as a Revolutionary War actor and me as a paranormal historian, we've got very rich lives because we've hung around this stuff. And it's a lot of fun, and I hope you didn't mind me digressing here just a little bit, but I think I think local history is one of the richest things that we have in this state, and that's why I'm thrilled to be part of the Palmetto State. I think it's better than North Carolina, where I grew up. We've got the Palmetto Bridge, under the Poins Bridge up in Traveler's Rest. It's beautiful. The tales of ghosts walking over it. It's just, and we, of course, we have Charleston. And I have a close friend, Eric. Eric, the astronomer, his brother is actually one of the tour guides down there. Makes a great full time living, and loves what he does. And you know, again, in South Carolina, I think South Carolina and Tennessee have some of the greatest folklore in the world, and Kentucky, for sure. So anyway, thanks for letting me digress, and I hope you didn't mind this, because I think it's important, and for everybody listening, go out and get the local ghost story book. Read it and see what's in it. And you might learn something. And lo and behold, it might be fun. Right, Dr. Trey?
You just never know, John. You never know till you know.
That is exactly right. And now, it's very funny that you said that. You never know until you know. We're talking about an interesting topic tonight, called dowsing. Now, a lot of people have heard of it, but they don't really know what it is. And I'll go ahead and lead out here. There are two forms of dowsing that are popular. One is when you use wishbone-shaped willow branches, and the other one is when you use copper rods. Now, I use copper rods. I get them. They're from Lowe's. The people at Home Depot are just too nosy, is all I got to say. And this is great. Dr. Trey, I've got a story that I think you'll really enjoy. When I went, I have a buddy, and he said, I want some of your dowsing rods. I said, okay, I'll go get you some. It was going to be all of $6, and it was going to cost me $10 to buy them, make them, and send them to him. And, you know, for a $10 birthday present, I think that's a good deal. So what happened is I walked into Lowe's, and there was a fellow that had helped me before. His name was John. And so I said, hey, John. He said, well, hey, Dr. John, what's up? I said, go with me to the wire aisle. You know, they have these rolls and spools of wire. And he said, well, what do you want? I said, I want some copper wire, 24 inches. He said, what? Copper wire, 24 inches, I said, number 6 gauge. I said, well, you know about that, whatever that is. I said, what do you think I'm going to do with this? Because I like him, and he's a nice guy. He said, well, I don't know. 10 dowsing rods to a buddy of mine. He said, oh, my God, I worked for Santee Cooper, and I did not know this. Santee Cooper is our local power company. And John said, we used to come in here. I completely forgot. The two foot thing, you get 2 foot of copper wire, you bend it once, 6 inches, and then 18 inches, and that's what we used to find water pipes and electrical pipes. I said, you're kidding, because we're down here in the very rational, easy to understand South Carolina, but sometimes, I said, are you sure about that? He said, yeah, I completely forgot about it, but we'd come in here all the time, and we'd get copper wire. I said, wow, you're kidding, but you're not. And what I can tell, the last thing I'll say before I'd like to have some commentary from you, Dr. Trey, is that there are two major water utilities in England that use dowsing rods, because they just don't have plats with all of the water mains on them. They don't. So they use these things. They get out there. They either use willow or they use copper. And they find them, and as they said, about 80% of the time. So now it's very interesting, and I think when I talked with you about this, and then I'm gonna open the floor to you. You said, you know what, John? I've learned that if it works, it works, and don't disturb it if it works. Is that correct, sir?
It is. It really is. You know, I've had patients tell me that whatever they do seems to help them with a certain condition, and I've always said, well, if it works, it works. I can't explain why. I don't know if there's any scientific basis to it. It might just be a placebo effect for all I know. I don't know. But if it works for you, it works for you. And as long as it doesn't hurt you, then I think it's probably safe to continue. And the same thing goes for dousing rods. If it works, it works. And it might be different in your hands than somebody else's hands. But it's not going to hurt you.
There was a story that I sent you about this fella and his grandfather back in the 50s took all the grandkids out, and then he walked into the woods and came out with wishbone-shaped dousing rods. And he showed them all how to use them. And this one boy, they nicknamed him Bull. He was Johnny on the spot, and he could find anything. And his granddad pulled him to the side and said, "Son, you can make a lot of money if you can do this. Don't ever forget how to do it." And he didn't. And he's past president of the American Dousing Association, gets paid $500 a day plus expenses. And he goes and he finds water mains and pipes and keys and everything else. I had, and I'm sorry that Robin is not feeling well tonight, I had an interesting experience with her. And this is true. I'd lost my phone. I'm very absent-minded. And I don't know if you are, Trey. I think you're probably not. But I'm very absent-minded. I don't know where I put anything sometimes. And so I called her up because she's always good at helping me find my keys and helping me find my phone. I hate to tell you this, but yes, I use Robin a little bit of a crutch because she's very good. Talking from Columbia, she can find my stuff. So I said,
I had to call her up, John, because I lose things all the time. You know, in a typical day, I change my pants if I'm going to 18th century clothing, if we're doing a reenactment or a demonstration, to clothes that I use in the yard, to clothes that I might be using inside. When I was practicing medicine, I'd always be changing scrubs, depending on, you know, what guck got on the clothes. That was always changing. And I could never find my wallet because I knew it was in a pair of pants. I just couldn't figure out what pair of pants. I ought to call Robin.
Absolutely, you should. So here's what happened. She said, "Well, John, what are you going to do?" I said, "Oh, my goodness. I am going to get my dowsing rods, and I'm going to try to find my keys with my dowsing rods." And so I got them out, and I thought, keys, keys, keys. And I went all over the house, and it never indicated. It never spun around or whatever if there was anything going on. She said, "Well, John, where did you not go? Where did you not take those dowsing rods?" I said, "Oh, dear God, they are sitting right next to the lamp on my table next to the door because I never went over there." And they showed a true negative. Because they never spun around, and I kept thinking about my keys. And then all of a sudden, they were exactly the one place I had never gone. So, I mean, it was unbelievable. And, yes, they do work. And they work in the hands of certain people. I tell you what, Dr. Trey, now, are you going to be home on Friday?
This Friday?
Yeah.
Like, couple of days from now, Friday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well then guess what I've got for you.
What's that?
Guess what I've got. Well, I remember, I mean, because we're really good friends, and the first thing you did for me during the COVID epidemic, and I've got it right here, you gave me a scrub brush. And I use it.
Keep your hands clean.
Or I did use it. That's right. But
it says 30
seconds. What I'm
going to
do is I've got an extra pair of dousing rods. So I'm going to drop those by your house. Okay?
John, that'd be great. Now tell me, tell me how you make dowsing rods. So you go to Lowe's, and
okay.
Do they have
and I buy this
rigid
this,
copper
I buy this,
copper wires? Or
well,
do they,
it,
is
it it's on a roll.
Okay.
On a roll, and so now John all of a sudden knew exactly what to do, but if I have to explain to them what to do, I get them to cut me some 2-foot lengths of copper wire, and then
now
I straighten it out.
How thick is the wire?
I tell them number 6.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's
tell
not
them number
gonna,
6.
That's
whatever.
It's not gonna sag. It's got enough intrinsic support, so when you bend it, it won't be sagging on you.
That's right. That's right. And so what I do is I'll say I want some number 6, and then we're going to straighten, and they have to straighten it out to cut it two feet in length. And so then we get that, and then I'm pretty good at gauging 6 inches. So I got 6 inches down and 18 inches across. Absolutely. And so that's what
this,
I do.
Do you have to take off insulation from this number 6 gauge
copper wire,
or is
no,
it just
this,
the
no.
copper itself? It's just, there's no insulation on it.
This is just pure
wire.
Copper. It's the world's simplest thing. And I'll bring you a pair of them, and I'll show you how to use them. I sent some to my buddy Brendan. He said, well, they're not doing anything. And I said, do a Facebook Live right quick. And he was clutching them like he was trying to strangle Jack the Ripper. I said, relax. Then all of a sudden, he was walking, and they went berserk on him. I said, because dowsing rods can find spirits. Now, I know that's just the craziest thing in the world, but dowsing rods can find spirits. So there you go. And they're cool. And,
well, see,
and they
see,
work.
That, then,
and,
it, then it starts to seem a little bit fuzzy to me, because I read these articles on dowsing rods, and people can find car keys, spirits, water, treasure, pirate treasure, all sorts of things. So how does the rod know what you're looking for? So is that communicated from your brain to your subconscious to your hands, or what? How do you set the search parameters in your head?
That's correct. You put the search parameters in your head. You say, like when I was looking for my keys, I said, my keys, and I kept visualizing my keys, and I couldn't find them. And they were exactly the one place that I didn't look. So I thought that was really cool. Now, we have talked about something called reticular activation system in the brain. And it's really funny where I heard that term. There's a fellow that I work with. His name's Harvey, and he's one of the most amazing and wealthy insurance salesmen in the world. And he does insurance for groups. And he told me about, I said, you know, Harvey, it was really funny, and I wanted to discuss this with you on the show because I'd like to get your impression. I said, you know, Harvey, it was interesting. When you told me, you just mentioned reticular activation system, and you said, John, what we're looking for are groups of individuals, employees that are from 5 to 20 or 5 to 30. I said, okay. And I went out, and as I just looked back and forth along the highway, I couldn't find any. And I came back. I always meditate every night, just try to get my brain going right. And so the next day, I drove along the same road, Highway 9, and I saw 20 businesses that had people from between 5 and 30. It was amazing. And I called Harvey. I said, what happened? He said, that's the reticular activation syndrome. What it does is it creates a filter in your brain so that you can start seeing things. You see things differently. Because as you and I both know, the brain is the most magnificent instrument of all time, right?
Well, So maybe next to chocolate. Yeah. It's a pretty,
okay,
it's a
well,
pretty cool thing.
Well, with me, toast and butter. So that's okay.
Oh,
but yeah, I mean,
too.
The brain is absolutely magnificent. And it can do things. And when I was reading up about the reticular activation syndrome, it said that it creates kind of a mesh, kind of a filter, and you start being able to see things that you could not see before. Now, what I wanted to ask you, because I'm going to really stretch it here, I'm beginning to think that those people who have psychic abilities might be activating their reticular activation syndrome so that they are filtering out certain things and being able to hear or see certain things. So that, you know, I mean, I don't know how on earth it works, and they don't seem to know very much about it on Wikipedia. You know, you go to these articles. But I think it might be that the brain, in its magnificence, is filtering out things for us, and that's how some people can do. That's how Robin can do what she does. I have heard her. I called you Saturday night. Everybody's gonna know all about us. I called you Saturday night, and I told her about a buddy of mine who I didn't know what was going on, and she immediately said he has gone crazy. And you know what? He has gone crazy. And I feel sorry for him. He's a great friend. I've tried to keep him on track for like 8 or 9 months, but he has gone crazy. And she told me things that he was saying, and that's what he was saying to me. And it's like, I don't know how Robin does this, but she does. And maybe she's filtering out things that, you know, let her have this knowledge. I don't know. So I just thought it was a neat thing, and I hope I didn't bother you with that one.
Well, you know, from medical school, I don't remember a lot about the reticular activating system. I had no interest in being a neurosurgeon or a neurologist, so I probably didn't pay too much attention to this. But it is in the brainstem, so it's in your lizard brain. And it modulates for sleep, and it's on the sleep-wake cycle and wakefulness. It receives input from the spinal cord, sensory pathways. It's connected to the thalamus and the cortex. So it really is kind of a crossroads. And I read in one article that it does everything except for sensory, except for the smell sensory. It doesn't connect with smell, but it would be kind of a crossroads for a lot of sensory input. So I guess it would act like a filter, or at least a synthesizer to put your sensory ability to balance with other parts of your sensory ability. It's not a very
wow.
good explanation, but that's what it seems like. But it is in your lizard
that
brain,
is,
John. It's in the lizard part of your brain, so it's in the primitive brainstem part.
The lizard part of your
lizard
brain?
Lizard man probably has a highly developed reticular activating system. Just a supposition there.
That's what I was going to say. You know, it's so interesting. We go between science and possibilities and maybe craziness, but it is interesting. It is interesting to talk about this, and it's really interesting.
And it always comes back to the lizard man. Do you see how does that happen? Perfect example of a lizard man-centric universe that we're occupying tonight.
Well, we really are, and we are celebrating. We are certainly celebrating the return of the 4th annual Lizard Man Festival tonight, and we are. And all I want to say is this has been a very exciting talk with you, because you have opened all this up to some possibilities. I mean, you know, I'm not
but
a
John,
bad guy.
I want to know how a dowsing rod works. So take me through. So it's 18 inches long. It's a 6-gauge copper wire, and it's got a 6-inch bend on one end, and you put it loosely in your hands, and then you have these two rods that are facing forward, and then you walk around and the wires cross or swing
and they
out
gyrate or whatever. Yeah. And what here? Okay, here's what happens. Here's a perfect example. One of my very best friends is Mike McIntyre. He will not mind me mentioning his name at all. He's up in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. He and his girlfriend live with his parents, John and Sharon. They are just the nicest people I've ever met. So what happened was they all have dowsing rods. I've given them all dowsing rods because I think they're a cool gift. So what happened was John and Jenny and Mike all went to the grocery store. And Sharon and I were sitting there at the house watching television. We were watching the Golf Channel. And she said, John. I said, what? She said, bring those dowsing rods upstairs. I want you to check out part of the house that I've always thought was haunted. And she took me into three rooms, and they went berserk in the laundry room. She said, this is the place that I've always been scared to go by myself. I said, really? I said, well, the dowsing rods show, because I was thinking about ghosts, they show that there is some energy activity here. And she said, please don't tell. I don't think John and Mike and Jenny are going to listen to this show. But she said, please don't mention this to them. But I've always wanted you to come up here. She took me into two bedrooms and the laundry room. And to be honest with you, the laundry room might have been the room that I expected the least. And, yeah. So you just think about what you want, and it kind of connects you to it. And I know that.
So dowsing rods are kind of a non-specific indicator that registers in one area that it might not register in another, depending on
correct
what you're considering, thinking about, focused on, as kind of a gauge of activity about whatever that is. I could have used dowsing rods last week. My wife said she thought that there was a leak in a pipe. I've been walking over this for a couple of weeks, and I did notice it was wetter than it should be since we haven't had rain. And when I mow down this little hill, I noticed the ground seemed wetter than usual. But I detected where the leak was from, because when I finally looked at the ground under the house, I could see water coming up from the basin. One shovelful later, I found a squirting pipe. So I didn't need dowsing rods for that, but it would have been handy otherwise if I couldn't track it down quickly.
I'm
going to have to go out
correct.
With these dowsing rods, John, and see if I can find stuff, leaking pipes, things like that.
Well, I tell you what, I'll make sure to spend a little bit of time with you. We'll go to the lake house and see what we can find.
And you can coach me. You can coach me with the dowsing rods. But now that's different than the fork stick dowsing rods.
I am not sure about that, because
I think style.
The wishbone style, I think, is really good for water. But I think the copper is good for everything else. But I don't know. I haven't done any experiments with that. So, but I like the copper because I can grab it. I can, you know, wander around with it in the house. And then all of a sudden, if I see something going crazy, I stay away from it. I do. Yeah.
Now, have you done dowsing rods at Robin's house?
Yes.
I would imagine you got more
they go
than one little twitch
they go
over there.
Crazy outside. They go crazy outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wonder why with all the Bigfoot.
Yeah.
They go crazy outside. They go crazy upstairs And then I realized one time that I was upstairs by myself. Janice Carter and her daughter had moved out, and I was by myself upstairs, and I'm hearing something walk up the stairs, and it was terrifying. I mean, it's kind of like when I had that that wolf spider. Sometimes I get scared. Wish I'd have had. I mean, you know, I'm a human being. I can get scared. I can get unscared. But yeah, it's. And to be honest with you, I don't stay at Robin's house too much unless someone else is upstairs. I just don't, because it's too creepy for me, especially with entities running around and everything. So we'll get over there here before the end of the year, and we'll enjoy some paranormal experiences. Fair enough. And I'll
what I find interesting about dowsing rods, and when I read the science behind it, and of course there is no science. Science can't prove anything one way or the other, as I would expect. But when you look at dowsers, some people kind of function at a better than average rate of success, however you choose to define that, than other people. So to me, it's just if someone has paranormal experiences, or if someone has psychic ability, or whatever the mind might create for whatever the topic of discussion, there's a bell-shaped curve of people that are beyond the level where you just say, well, isn't it interesting how this one person can find water, can find spirits, has the dowsing rods flickering around when it's supposed to flicker around. It just tells me there's a spectrum of activity that some people are just better at, better trained, have better innate abilities, or can develop those abilities like anybody. You know, when we talked to Robin, she said that she is much more tuned to the paranormal than she was years ago. And that's through experience and knowing what works and how you can channel these abilities for people that have those abilities to a higher degree. So I think it all fits in with the whole paranormal thing. But if you are wondering, are you paranormal inclined or not, I think experimentation with dowsing rods certainly wouldn't hurt you, unless you contacted a high voltage system with those copper rods, then that might hurt.
Right.
But I mean, this is an inexpensive way to kind of do a self-test to see if you are more tuned to forces around us that we don't normally detect. It would be a good screening tool for someone who is wondering if they have what degree of paranormal activity ledger domain they could have with that.
I mean, I think that's a well thought out comment, Trey. It really is, and I had not thought about that. It's a good screening tool.
And in fact, you know, it might be interesting if you were to now you've done work with ESP, Ryan Institute,
and the Ryan Institute, yes,
right. So it would be an interesting field experiment to take people who you're selecting for the card test, the wavy lines, the square, the circle,
yeah,
and put dowsing rods in their hands and see if there's a correlation between dowsing rod activity and the people that score on the higher ESP spectrum.
Well, I think it would. I had never thought about that, and again, As a gentleman of science, I think you have really hit on something. I might call up John Carruth up there at the Ryan and say, you know, my buddy Dr. Trey Donaway has got an interesting idea for an experiment, and I'm sure he'll tell me, like any good paranormal research. Like any good psychology researcher, he'll tell me 50 reasons why it won't work. But well, I'll that is worth looking at. It really is. And it just is.
But then again, maybe some people can have a better than average predictive rate of deciding what the hidden card looks like, as opposed to someone who can find water with dowsing rods.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They did some experiments, and they found out that the fewer choices you had, like with the Zener cards, you have five choices,
yes,
cards, you have a better hit rate. And that all...
But wouldn't that just, I mean, if you have fewer cards, thing, rather than one in five, it could be like one in three. So, you're going to have a better hit rate. But is that valid?
I don't know. And that comes, that brings to mind this trick. It's not a trick. This thing that you can learn from radionics called stick, where you kind of like try to feel which one or the other is the answer to a question. And mm-hmm. It's like nobody's ever done any research on that. And I think those are valid research points. And they're not going to get you any National Science Foundation money awarded to do it. They're not. But I think they're very interesting. And I just like these topics that are not funded by the NSF. I'll tell you, they're pretty tough on you. And they don't like certain topics. And I think these
are
fascinating.
Well, now, if you come up with COVID-19 dowsing rods to detect the source of COVID-19 dowsing rods, I bet you could get a nice little – I bet you could get a nice grant from the NSF for that right now. It's kind of a hot topic, you know. Wonder if it would lead you to a bat cave or a pangolin den with your dowsing rods. COVID-19.
I never had any idea about that, because I mean mm-hmm. that is a thing that your brain can say, I want to know about COVID-19.
There you go.
That's actually very interesting. That would be extremely controversial. Dr. Fauci,
and you know,
John,
we've talked about spirit writing, not spirit writing. Automatic writing. You know, sometimes when you park your, and when I read the articles on dowsing, they said you kind of let your mind drift and wander, and you're not really you might be focusing on where's the water, but other than that, you don't really you kind of put your brain in neutral and you coast. And then the dowsing rod seems to have a more pronounced efficacy. Well, I know from personal experience when I'm sitting on a lawnmower and just doing mindless tasks or taking a shower, I get all sorts of ideas. Because again, my brain kind of goes to neutral and things just kind of bubble up to the surface. Last night, I was talking to a friend earlier and I took a shower, and as soon as I got out of the shower, I had all these creative ideas based on the conversation I had about an hour earlier, but I really wasn't thinking about it. But all of a sudden, some things just kind of bubbled to the surface, and it's kind of remarkable how a brain that's put in neutral, it's kind of like when you put your foot on a clutch, it just kind of goes into neutral. And the next thing you know, something bubbles to the surface. And maybe the dowsing rods follow the same type of progression that your subconscious is blending in with your conscious. And maybe that's the reticular activating system, for all I know, back in your lizard brain and your midbrain.
And all I got to say is, why won't scientists investigate this? I think this is
because they can't get
fascinating
funding.
Because they can't get any funding from the NSF. That's right.
That's right. They're going to be looking at other stuff, and you're saying, why are we spending money on this basic science principle? But but it's not as fun as these paranormal investigations. I'll tell you that.
But I'll just say this: these aren't paranormal. These are things that need to be investigated, because I have a feeling that many of them are simply part of the mechanism of the brain. And we look and we call it witchcraft or whatever we call it. And it's just kind of, it's just, I don't know, you know, because as I've always said, and it was great, I saw that there's an example that I give that Nikola Tesla gave 20 years later. I said, in the year 1900, if you'd have told me that there was something about the size of a note card that you could talk to China on anytime you wanted to, people would have looked at you like you were crazy. That's a cell phone. Nikola Tesla gave the same exact example in 1920. And I mean, I'd never heard of his example. I mean, he was, you know, genius beyond compare. But even he realized it. The things that we look on as witchcraft today are in 100 years the science of tomorrow. And I don't know why our brain just, or our culture or whatever, just sticks their foot in their mouth sometimes. Anyway, I'm sorry, but it is true, and I love the fact that what we're talking about today in 2021, in 2121, will be the science of that day. And so I think it'll be fun, and hopefully somebody will hear our broadcast.
Well, you know, John, this goes well beyond dowsing rod potential, but you know, Western trained physician, we never discussed puncture in medical school. This just, like, no, we don't go there. But I had a good friend who was an acupuncturist, and he told me some of the things he could do. I didn't believe him, but I had a patient with intractable vomiting, just intract everything. Nothing worked. It's when Zofran first came out, which was very expensive. We used tons of that on her, and nothing worked. And I remember my friend said, I can treat nausea and vomiting. And I said, okay, have at it. And he fixed it. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Now, again, it can all be placebo, but it doesn't matter if it's placebo or not, as long as it works.
Works.
And it worked. It worked. I can't explain it. The closest I could get is he said it's kind of like pushing the reset button on a circuit breaker. You know, if the circuit breaker goes out, you push the reset button and it kind of resets the circuit. And
it's like the old test reset buttons in, you know, probably 25, 30 years ago in electrical engineering. Test reset, and you hit reset and it works. Exactly.
Right. So I cannot explain acupuncture, but if acupuncture works, and I've seen it work, even if just because there's no scientific explanation for why it works, doesn't mean there isn't a scientific explanation for why it works. It's just that we're not smart enough to know why today. But 100 years from now, we very well will, or could. I mean, I always use the example of chemotherapy. Here you have somebody who has a cancer, and what are you doing? You're giving them poisons. Why? Well, because that's how we treat this. But 100 years from now, hopefully, they'll say, can you believe that those people 100 years ago were given cancer patients? They're already sick, and then they're giving them poisons on top of that. Can you believe they did that instead of whatever the proper route might be, immunotherapy, acupuncture, fiddling with the reticular activating system in a certain way. If you give a monkey a violin, you're not going to get very good music out of it, even when they're they're shown and have time to play it. But you give a virtuoso a violin, and you're going to have some beautiful music. So maybe that's the human element, that some people are virtuoso, others aren't. And there's a big difference between if you have the ability to do something, even if you don't know why, but you know what works, and someone who doesn't have that ability, where it won't get you the results. Who knows? It's a big universe with
strange
things.
That's right. It's like the best example that I can come up with. Yes, I probably partied a lot when I was an undergraduate. And I partied some with a buddy of mine at North Carolina School of the Arts. And 15 years later, he was the biggest superstar of all time. And I asked him one time, I said, how did this happen? He said, I have no idea. Do you know who it was? It'll shock
you. Who's
that? It was Tom Hulsey. Tom Hulsey, who was in Animal House. And
yeah.
He played Mozart. And I mean... And I asked him, I said, why are you such a gigantic superstar? He said, I have no idea. They keep hiring me. That was the last time
yep.
I saw him, but it was the truth. You know, it's like, I don't know why I'm a star, but I am. Bank account obviously shows it. So, you know, I just thought it was funny. It was a great realization for me that nobody knows sometimes why things work, and we just don't know enough. I don't think we know enough. And when I say things like that, like my, in 100 years, you know, you can, you know, take this little thing and talk to China, and they look at me like, you know, well, yeah, I mean, we know what you're talking about now, but yeah, if it was 1900, people would look at you like you had lost your mind. And Nikola Tesla said the same thing. It made me feel good when I saw it, you know. I'm certainly not caliber of that, but it was wonderful that I saw he'd said basically the same thing. So I think what I say is going to play out that in another 100 years, what we look at as witchcraft, voodoo, and parapsychology is going to be just considered everyday science. It doesn't seem like I have violated any of your rules by saying that, have I, Dr. Trey?
Not at all. Not at all.
And
we don't know.
I like Trey's rule.
And if you don't know what you don't know, then you really don't know.
Trey's rule. I love Trey's rule. If it works, well, then it works. I love
right.
that rule, and it's the truth.
You know,
if it works,
and,
well,
and
it
the
works.
Idea behind the science is that. Certain therapies for patients with tumor cell markers on their cancers. Some tumor cell markers will respond very nicely to chemotherapy, and other people without those tumor cell markers will not respond to the chemotherapy. Before you knew about surface cell markers, you just knew that sometimes this drug will work, sometimes it won't. But as the science progresses, you figure out why that is. And when pharmacological agents started to be examined like a key that fits a certain lock on the cell, the first drug for that was Tagamet. Remember Tagamet, an H2 blocker to get rid of
I remember the name
stomach
Tagamet.
Acid?
I remember that. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It's the first drug that someone engineered to fit into a cell surface marker, and it's as if keys, humeral keys floating around in your body run into this surface marker, the key goes into the lock, and the key then turns, and it turns on your acid production. And then you generate excess acid in your stomach. And if you had Tagamet, it's a blank key that will fit into the lock and block the histamine molecule, the H molecule, that turns on that lock. And it blocks the acid production. And then we say, oh, well, we've got this all figured out now. Now we know ulcers can be controlled by regulating the amount of acid that your stomach produces, right? And we figured all this out. And then we discovered there's a little bacteria called Helicobacter, which is probably responsible for the vast majority of ulcers. And it is from a bacterial infection, not from
And I was getting ready to talk
acid.
About that. The fact that all these ulcers that people died from were cured by antibiotics, weren't they?
Now they are. That accounts for the vast majority of ulcer disease. It's from a bacteria, and you take Pepto-Bismol and some antibiotics and the bismuth sulfate and the antibiotic combined to knock down the bacteria. Now we talk about we're getting way off the topic, John. We really are getting way off the topic, but from dousing rods. But you find that as you progress with science, you come up with explanations, and there's no reason why the progression of science, you'll say, well, this is paranormal or ESP or things to do with the reticular activating system, and it's so complicated, we'll never be able to figure it out. No, it's just a matter of time. And then we'll tumble into one explanation, and that'll lead us to another one, and eventually you figure it out.
Eventually, our medicine will look like something from Star Trek, and Dr. McCoy.
Yes, it will.
Putting the thing over somebody, say, "Oh, he's got this," and that's what it'll look like. Maybe, maybe not, but we can keep on doing it. Well, Dr. Trey, this has been truly one of the most enjoyable, and I have learned so much from you. It's been fun. You know, learning is fun, I think, don't you?
Well, John, I really think this is more like conversations we have sometimes, but we're just having a conversation with other people, except they're just not saying anything.
Right, but still, I hope they've enjoyed it. I've got several friends that I'm going to say, go listen to this scary cast. You're going to learn something, and you're going to learn some of the things that I keep saying, and you're going to hear the same things from Dr. Trey. So I wanted to say, you know, say thank you so much for being here. You've been a magnificent co-host and guest, and you know, we've talked about Lizard Man, we've talked about history, and we've talked about science. And I think that's what ScaryCast is all about. It's all about the possibilities. So I wanted to say thank you so much for everything you've done for us. We are grateful that you're part of our team. And I will be coming by Friday afternoon before I get interviewed. Someone's got about 100,000 people on their social media, and I'm getting ready to get interviewed about the Lizard Man Festival. Then I'm going to go talk to Ralph Jarrells, our great author that did Jesus and Judas. Then I'm going to go. I mean, I'm going to have the most phenomenal Friday anybody could ever have. The richness that I have is because of my friends such as you. So thank you so much.
I'm going to put my dousing rods in my hands and see if I can get them spin around when I'm thinking about all your adventures on Friday, John.
Well, we'll see if we can make them happen, okay?
All right, John. Good talking with you this evening.
All right,
good night, everybody.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Au revoir.